Good day, friends. Again we come to you. A series of studies which we have day by day on this station as we discuss the New Testament books of the Bible. We call this exposition of the Scriptures. And I believe that you will agree with me there is a great need today of people knowing the Word of God. And I would like to today start with a new study on the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians. God gave to the Apostle Paul a twofold revelation, the revelation of his grace, which is found in the book of Romans, and then the revelation of the church, the body of Christ, which is found in the book of Ephesians. When we got to Ephesians, we followed on with Philippians and Colossians, which guarded the book of Ephesians in its practice and in its doctrine. Then we went on into 1 and 2 Thessalonians, dealing with the coming of the Lord for his own and with his own. Now we're coming back to the book of Galatians. And I know you're going to ask the question, then why take up Galatians before you take up Corinthians? Corinthians guards the practice of Romans, and Galatians guards the doctrine of Romans. I felt it was a necessary thing for us to go over again the truth of justification by faith, or, if you please, dealing with the sufficiency of the work of Christ for us as found in Galatians, upon which comes the practical side of it revealed in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Now, Romans deals with Christ, our righteousness, and it's justification by faith, followed by sanctification and glorification. Whereas the book of Galatians is guarding the doctrine of justification by faith. And out of justification by faith comes a real walk and life before God, which is found in 1 and 2 Corinthians. If I again go back, using the book of Galatians to lay the foundation of our salvation in Christ, then we can follow right along with, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, on the responsibility as a justified person before God living in the world. Now again, may I remind you that Romans, the theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. And Corinthians guards the practice of Romans, or if you please, in Corinthians you have Christ, our sanctification. Galatians guards the doctrine of Romans, or if you please, Christ, our liberator. Or if I take the theme of Galatians, the sufficiency of the work of Christ. Just like we had in Ephesians, where Christ and the church are one. Church is his body. And then you come to Philippians, guards the practice of that wonderful union with Christ. And then in Colossians, guards the doctrine of Ephesians. Well, now, what is left after that is the coming of the Lord, which we find in 1 Thessalonians. And then the coming of the Lord to reign. This is found in 2 Thessalonians and so on. When you follow that, you come to Timothy and Titus. You've got instructions to young preachers how to behave themselves in the house of God. Now, I would like to go right now then to the book of Galatians, the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, and I would like to read the first five verses, the introduction to this book. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Then he goes on to speak of the gospel. Suffice for me to suggest, as I read these verses, the reason why Paul wrote to the Galatian church. And I might say here in passing, there's a tremendous need today in our American churches for the study of the book of Galatians. I gave this study a few hours. I didn't give the full study on the book of Galatians. I was dealing with the sufficiency of the work of Christ in a place last summer. And then this 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in the East holding a Bible conference, and a lady said to me, I heard you last summer on the book of Galatians. That was kind of hard. Now I enjoy what you're giving us this time when I was talking on the spiritual life, fellowshipping with God. Well, you can't enjoy fellowship with God if you don't know very much about where you stand and whether you believe in the sufficiency of Christ or not. I think one of the greatest problems today is that people, Christian people, do not know the tremendous work which Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And we have cluttered up the gospel so much that it's hard to know what is the gospel. In fact, I'll be very honest and say to you, sometimes I just simply hunger to hear somebody preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Now, Paul had gone down to this country called Galatia, and had preached the gospel. He was there twice. He had been down there a couple of times in his second and third missionary journeys. And the Gauls, these were Gauls who had come down from the northwest and had settled in Asia Minor about 300 B.C. They were an enthusiastic people, but they were very fickle. For example, in chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. In chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? In chapter 4, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You'd have taken your own eyes out and given to me. And they were, one minute they were hot and then they were cold. They were soon removed from him. They were bewitched. They turned back to the old beggarly elements. They would have plucked out their eyes and given to him. It's an amazing thing that when Paul wrote to them, he wrote with such strong feelings. They were fickle. You know, I think today that some people, when you meet them on the street or in your churches, they're all on fire for God. You meet them a month afterwards, and they're cold as clams. You wonder what in the world has happened. They're up and down, up and down. One minute they're on the mountaintop, and the next minute they're down in the dumps. I don't think God wants us to live that way. He wants us to enjoy His Son. He wants us to be filled with joy and with peace. As the Apostle John could write in 1 John 1:4, these things write I unto you, that your joy might be full. Our Lord said in John chapter 15, my joy I give unto you, that your joy might be full. It's what God wants. But if I'm occupied with myself and what I do to merit favor with God or to try to be holy in the strength of the flesh, then I'll never be happy. I'll never know what joy is. I'll be full of a self-righteousness and a holier-than-thou expression. No, no. God wants us to be full of joy. And I'm sorry to say too many Christians are like these people, these saints down there in Galatia who were hot for the Lord and then they were cold. One day they're rejoicing in the Lord and the next day they're down in the dumps. I say this is not what God wants of us. And no epistle of Paul. No epistle of Paul had such strong feelings as this one. Not even the Corinthians, who were carnal, did Paul speak like he did to these ones when he said, you are moved away from Christ. Let him be accursed. Who hath bewitched you? You are entangled with the yoke of bondage. He was greatly perturbed as he wrote to these people. Now, he wrote them possibly between 55 and 56 A.D., it's about the time he wrote the letter. What really had happened was false teachers had come in from Jerusalem, and they had tried to upset the work of the gospel. In fact, they said to these Galatian Christians, you must be circumcised. You better make it sure and be circumcised. You must keep the law of Moses. You must observe holy days and Sabbaths and new moons and what have you. They went back to the beggarly elements. And they were robbed of their joy. In fact, the Apostle Paul speaks of this in chapter 5. Where is the joy you had? And you have lost it. In chapter 4, they were really zealous for the Lord. And the trouble was that they had turned away from the sufficiency of Christ. And when they had done that, their peace was gone. That is experimental peace. They were no longer at rest. They were restless, they were full of uncertainty, they didn't know whether they were saved or lost, and because these false teachers had come in, from the great city of Jerusalem, and they upset them in their faith concerning the Savior. I mention this because today we have the same sort of a thing. Because of the lack of the knowledge of the sufficiency of Christ, too many Christians today live defeated lives. I say that kindly. They're living defeated lives. And the reason for their defeat is they're occupied with themselves instead of Christ. Hence they have no fellowship. They're not experiencing the divine life which Christ has put into their hearts. They're missing the spiritual power that comes from a walk with God. Now, I'm looking forward to this study in the book of Galatians. I'm well aware of this fact, too, that as I bring up certain things from this epistle, some of you are not going to like it. But I would charge you to write me and let us get these things straight. All I'm concerned about is that you fall in love with the Savior and that you do not deny the sufficiency of the work of Christ by your actions or by your teaching. Christ is a perfect, complete Savior. He's not a 99% Savior. He's a perfect Savior. As I've oftentimes said, the salvation we have begins in God, is continued by God, and is going to be completed by God. And this gives us rest. This does not make us indifferent. This does not make us loose in life. This makes us love Him all the more, and the greater desire to please Him than ever before. So, you read the book of Galatians through, will you? There are just 6 chapters. And the more you read it, the more you'll get out of it. And the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.